This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University as part of its Historical Research Methods course. My name is Brooke Fife, and I'm a sophomore history major here at JMU, and today I'll be interviewing Zach Sims, a junior history major here at JMU. Today I'll be interviewing him about his paper, which deals with the role of the clergy in France during World War II. Zach, can you give us a brief rundown of your topic today?
Yeah, sure. No problem, Brooke. In my paper, I focus mostly on Nazi-occupied France and the Vichy regime in France and the clergy's interactions with those two groups. So basically, in 1940, the Nazis come in and take over most of France, including Paris and the coastline. But part of the Third Republic, which was the government in France at the time, flees from Paris and goes down to a town called Vichy. And they set up a provisional government in which they have Marshal Pétain as the leader, who ends up becoming like a totalitarian leader, and they end up collaborating with the Nazis in order to preserve this idea of free France, which they actually would end up sacrificing a lot of the ideals that drove France before the war, but that's beyond the point. So there is this legitimacy, almost dispute argument between the resistance movement, which was based in London and trying to grow up under the Nazi-occupied areas of the north, and the Vichy regime in the south, which was, both of them were arguing for legitimacy as the true free France. And in this whole situation, the clergy are trying to basically go about their business seeking peace and things like that. And in my paper, I argue that because of this situation and war in general and a lot of the specifics that went on in France during World War II, the lower clergy, that is priests and bishops, low-level bishops, gain a lot of power on the organization as a church due to the organization of the church's limitations that are put on it politically. That's kind of a brief rundown of what's in my paper.
Nice. So you talk about the various political atmospheres that existed in France during this time period. Can you kind of describe how that political atmosphere led to the rise of power in the clergy specifically?
Yeah, sure. So I'll talk about first the international organization of the Roman Catholic Church and the dealings of the Holy See. Now, the Holy See is the position of the Vatican, or the head of the church, basically. So it's like the office of the president in the United States, similar to that. So Pope Pius was the pope at the time, and he sat upon the seat that was the Holy See, but basically it's just the authority of the international church. So the international, or the organization of the church at the time during World War II, pursued mostly peace during World War II. They did not really want to get into any specifics with any one nation because they stood for all Christians and all Europeans, basically, in peace. And if they sided with one group, that would potentially forfeit power and legitimacy in the post-war period. So they couldn't really afford to take a side on most issues, except that war crimes and things like that, that the church normally would. Although the church did have a distaste for Nazi Germany because of their treatment of Jews and a lot of other things that the Nazis did, as well as the breaking of some agreements between the Pope and Hitler. Hitler actually abolishes the Catholic political organization in Nazi Germany because it was a rival of the Nazis, and the Pope really didn't like that. So they had a distaste for Nazi Germany in general, but not specific enough to officially stand against them. And they also had a strong distaste for communism, but that would rise much later. So that's with the Holy See. That's what they're about in general in Europe. And specific in France, I talked earlier about the legitimacy dispute between the resistance movement headed by Francis de Gaulle and the Vichy regime, which was led by a totalitarian leader in Marshal Pétain. And the church didn't really want to have any part of that either. They absolutely wanted to have a role in whatever government would rule France in the post-war. But they did not yet know who that was going to be. They certainly had some opinions on both of them, but they didn't really take any action in that. So in France, there's kind of this almost limbo land of the the head of the church doesn't know what to do, who to support with the three groups, the resistant movement, the Nazis in the occupied area, and the Vichy regime. So it's kind of pushed later, and the decision isn't quite made early on. So that's the political atmosphere that these clergy are working under.
Cool. So you describe, again, more of the political atmosphere. So can you describe more about Vichy France specifically, as that's something that you talk a lot about in your paper?
Yeah, sure. So in Vichy France, the clergy were offered a larger role than they had been in the past. There was a leftist movement prior to the war in the Third Republic, which in general is pushing out the Catholic Church from politics and from the government. And in 1904, they actually take the Catholic Church out of public schools. And Vichy is a very conservative place, and it's a very conservative political atmosphere. And with that naturally comes looking back at old ideals. So they have a strong interest in including the church in their France and their idea of true France. So they give the clergy some power, and they kind of offer to them a role back in schools and things like that to kind of entice the clergy to come in and support them. And it largely works. A lot of the upper bishops, the Bishop of France, who is calling a lot more of the shots in France because the international organization of the church is occupied with a lot of things. This is World War II. A lot of the higher bishops actually side with Vichy because of these political and social offers that they make them. So they kind of ignore a lot of the things that Vichy was doing, in that they didn't, ideally the Catholic Church wouldn't like the totalitarian aspects of Vichy, and they didn't like the treatment of Jews, and Vichy actually censored a lot of publishings, including the Catholic Churches, which is coming straight from Nazi Germany almost. And the church normally would not like that. But regardless, the upper bishops really were reined in by these offers that were made by Vichy. But however, the lower level clergy didn't have these same political ties. So they weren't tied down by, the offering of being in school and all these political motivations to support Vichy. So politically speaking, the lower level clergy, priests and low bishops, could enjoy the spoils almost of being a part of Vichy France, but also not officially side with them. They could, teach and say and do things that would not necessarily align completely with Vichy France, or, definitely not align with the Nazis. And they wouldn't really face a whole lot of repercussions because the larger parts of the church, that being the Bishop of France and the Holy See, were really occupied with a lot of other things. So it let these low bishops and these priests and such kind of have their own positions on things. And that really gave them a flexibility that the upper parts of the church didn't have, which allowed them to follow their convictions in the way that they saw fit, unlike that of the upper levels of the clergy.
Cool. So you describe a lot about how the clergy's role was very much influenced in politics and in the government, and how they gradually grew in their power, in their role in the government. So can you describe an example that specifically describes this power change?
Yeah, sure. So I just recently mentioned the flexibility of the lower church, and that really gave them a legitimacy role, a role in legitimacy among the people. And one specific area of this that there's a lot of research on, and I found a lot on, is the treatment of Jews. So in general, the church didn't see an obligation, the Holy See, that is, didn't see an obligation to protect non-Christians as much as they saw a duty to protect Christians. But in general, they didn't like the torture of people. They didn't like all these bad things being done to human beings, albeit Jews. At the time, they didn't really like them that much in general. But the upper ranges of the church were under the eye of the Nazis, and they were under the eye of the Vichy regime. And if they did something outright to help the Jews, who the Nazis very clearly did not like and did not approve of, then they could face some serious repercussions. And they risk a lot of losing a lot of influence in the coming years, and you know, having a lot of repercussions from those groups. However, the lower level clergy were not held to as high of a standard because, quite frankly, Vichy and Nazi couldn't afford to make sure that every single priest was doing everything correctly. They could censor some sermons, but that's about as far as their power reached. So these lower level clergy were able to protect Jews to some extent and help funnel them out of France and out of Nazi occupied areas, which there are numerous cases of priests and even low level bishops who funneled hundreds of Jews and protected many of them in their own homes, even from these regimes that were seeking after them. And they often actively participated in the protection of Jews, where the upper bishops and the Holy See could not do that.
Okay. Well, that's about all we have time for today. Thank you for coming, Zach. And this is Brooke signing off on History Free 95.